Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
I remember the day of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever. Back roads empty for miles. Well, you can't have a dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw you, I knew we'd go together like a wink and a smile.
Folks, we go together like a wink and a smile. This is So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. That's Harry Connick Jr., a wink and a smile. I had a huge, this is probably not surprising to anybody, I had a huge Harry Connick Jr. phase in high school. I also did show choirs, so that probably explains a lot. But I thought he was very fitting to open the show with because our guest today, we got into a big, well, a slightly big conversation about, like, you know, Nora Ephron, romantic comedies like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Sleepless in Seattle, which all had amazing soundtracks. But I discovered Harry Connick Jr. because of the When Harry Met Sally soundtrack. And it was all done by Harry Connick Jr. And it was one of my dad's CDs. And I was like, I don't know, this music speaks to me. As a kid, I was like, wow, this is not like anything on the radio, but I liked it. And I thought it was great. So I thought we would open with a little Harry Connick Jr. It's not a complete mashup like we usually do. How are you guys? Is everybody good? You've made it to Wednesday. We are at the hump day. Hump de hump is a chance to get to the end of the week. I hope you guys are good. I'm not good, but I'm not good. I had COVID over the holidays, and I still get these kind of blinding headaches sometimes. And I just got one about an hour and a half ago, and I'm trying to shake it, but I'm not going to really do a lot of talking at the front here, and I'm just going to go to our interview. And luckily, we have an hysterical, amazing, insightful, fun interview with our guest, Lucy O'Connor. You might know her as at Lucy on the Ground on Instagram, and she is just so fun to talk to. She is a pop culture maven, just like we all are, and we just had a great conversation. So you are in good hands with this conversation, so I don't need to do a lot of talking up front. I'll do that tomorrow's episode. We'll get everything in, but it's crazy. I do want to let you know, I was looking for a new productivity app. You know, like, I like to cross things off. And so I tried out this one called Done, and it's actually pretty cool. I put it on my Instagram. I swear to God, this isn't a promotion, but people kept asking about it on the Instagram. So it's called Done, and it's actually pretty cool. You can kind of like form habits that way. I decided I was going to make my bed like Carl does every day, and we're on day one, and I definitely was more productive today. I have a headache right now, so I don't know if that has anything to do with making my bed. But at least as a grown man, I'm learning to do these basic, very basic things. How do you guys do all of what you do? I see you every day on the Instagram, and just, you're so busy. I mean, I'm busy too, but I'm just barely getting through things. You guys make it look like you're doing it with like grace and aplomb, and you look all stylized. Like, I'm wearing like Old Navy sweatshirts and basketball shorts. Like, remember when we wore pants? Remember that? It wasn't too long ago. It was less than a year ago. I was wearing pants on a daily basis. And now if I put pants on, it feels like my legs are getting suffocated. And if it feels like something is extremely wrong if I wear pants. But at the same time, am I giving up by just wearing basketball shorts for the rest of my life? I feel like this is the stuff government should be talking about. I feel like this is the stuff, like, okay, is there a date we're back on track? Is there as we get through this, as we get over this, as we start getting vaccinated, is there going to be like, hey, in like a month from now, we're going to start wearing pants as a nation again, or skirts, or, you know what? But like, I mean, is somebody going to like say like, hey, you got to slow down with the leisure wear? You know, Like, my whole life is leisure wear right now. And maybe, you know what? Maybe that's my next to-do list thing. Make your bed and put on pants. Whew, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm emotionally ready to put on pants again. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm weak. I feel like I need to get stronger. And, I mean, is there something in between a short and a pant? Is, like, a jort or something? Is there something in between there where it's, like, a warm-up to a pant? If you guys know, get at me. Thank you guys for continuing to listen. The numbers are doing great. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want more, if you want recaps and stuff like that, go over to the Patreon, patreon.com/sobadit'sgood. I think $5 a month, you get access to like 80 podcasts at this point. And I'm starting Real Housewives of Miami this week. I watched my first episode today, and you guys, I'd never seen it before. And I know, don't yell at me, but it's great. Larsa Pippen, it's great. I'm so excited to talk about it when I don't have a headache, but, yeah, so that was great. But anyways, in this interview today, we go over The Bachelor, we go over Kardashians, Kim, Kanye, Scott, Courtney, Travis, we go over Khloe, we go over everybody's matching faces, we get into, like I said, romantic comedies, we get into Summer House, of course, Real Housewives of New Jersey. I mean, we go all over the map. The whole goal of all of these podcasts, I think, is to... So you guys feel like you're in on this conversation, because when I talk, I feel like you guys are in on this conversation. You know, I was noticing this when I was talking to Lucy today, that we would talk and then I would lean in and I go, guys, what's she saying right here? And that's not me being like, that's really what I would do in a conversation of like, hey, you know what she means right here? And so it's kind of cool that I feel like there's this really, I don't know, at least I feel that way, that it's just really nice where I can actually, I actually feel like I know who's listening. So thank you guys for all of your support. We're just going to get right into it because I really do have a blinding headache. Hopefully this can go away. And I will talk to you guys on Thursday again. But yeah, this is the Wednesday episode. And then Thursday, we got a great guest. And I will talk to you guys very soon. Bye.
Finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, or even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is one of my favorite guests, so much so that I have nothing planned. This is going to be like jazz music for people that like pop culture. We are just going to see what sticks to the wall, because I could talk with this person about anything. You might know her from her Instagram account, Lucy on the Ground, which is short for Lucy on the Ground with Rocks. You might also not know that she has a podcast that has recently come back from hiatus and is on a little bit of a hiatus, but it focuses on romantic comedies, which are just kind of all of our favorites. And I want to talk to her a little bit about that. But Lucy O'Connor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is always so fun for me, and I love that we are just going to riff off each other here.
Ba-doo-bop, bop, ba-dup, boop, boop.
Like, got my sax out.
This is scatting for people that like to read Us Weekly. I wanted to say real quick about romantic comedies, because I think one of the The Bachelor this season, I think, is a romantic comedy in that it's supposed to be romantic, but it's just really horrible. And I end up finding it like comedic in a really bad way. Do you, I mean, cause it's like melatonin for me at this point. Like it knocks me out.
The Bachelor. Yeah. I mean, I watched this week, but like to retain even anymore outside of even like whatever, everything that's going on there that is important outside of just the entire franchise. But the episodes itself, I think also piggybacking off such a great season of The Bachelorette, I had hopes. And this was, especially as a woman, like these are terrible contestants. It's been, and I have to question that I found entertainment from them. But then I had to be like, okay, hold on. Like these are bitches. Like,
well, I still don't. It's always a bad sign when you've made it to the final four and you don't know any of their names. Like you're like, oh, the girl that supposedly had the Confederate flag, she's there, the pictures, and then the two other, like, I'm not retaining any. I know his name's Matt. He's hot, but he's boring. And I know Chris Harrison, everything else. And I know at one point he was deep in thought and there was a couch in the woods he went and sat on, and that cracked me up.
I mean, those producers are always their money shots of them either like pensive on a balcony or pensive in the shower, like pensive on a couch in the woods, like they're just reaching.
Do you think the director, I mean, do you think whoever shoots that is like, Matt, come on, more serious, man. Bring the tears, bring it, bring the pain. Let's go. What are you thinking, buddy?
I don't know. I have to think back of like past Bachelors because they all pulled it off pretty well. I feel like Nick Vile was the only one who like I felt behind his eyes that he was even like, this is so stupid. Like he even like felt it because everyone else, like, you know, they're showering and they're just like deep in thought. And like, I don't know how they pull it off. Like they all try and go into acting though afterwards. So they must realize that they've got the chops to do something.
I would like to be one of the contestants that's like fully aware of the camera and like just like looking directly at the camera every shot, you know, like
I could never do it because I'd be friends with production and not to get a good edit or anything. Like I'd like be behind the camera being like, okay, so when you did see that, like, you know, we're yeah. like,
hey, I see what's going on here. You saw the storyline, right?
Right. That's do you have a camera? And yeah. Is there a camera in the other room?
Yeah. Production, are you seeing this? Rush to the bathroom right now. We're having a convo in here. That's crazy.
Especially with this season, because these women, I always like the Bachelor seasons more because the women are like the even like little cattiness or convos. Like I was in a sorority. Like there's definitely not that we were all dating one guy, but it's definitely there are layers there.
I've seen sororities where that has happened, actually.
Yeah. It wasn't mine, I'd like to say, go on the record. But it is like I like that aspect, and that's where I find the entertainment is all of these women having to live together, especially in this pandemic. I feel like they were all so heightened, like we've been heightened, like emotional, triggered, like, why am I here? I want to leave. I quarantined for 2 weeks. Like, I miss my family. Like, they're all so much more stressed than they've ever been.
But then how on the top of that are you boring on top of that after like you're caged up, but still I don't feel they brought it. I feel like there's no chemistry between anybody.
I think they did a good job casting the right women for him. Like I every time he went on a one-on-one date, I was like, this could work for them. Like I could see this lasting. That being said, they said this is the most women we've ever had. He's never been on the show. Like he wasn't someone who came and knew how this worked.
He's fresh Bachelor Nation. Bachelor Nation.
And then they brought in more. And then they said, you know what? There's not enough. You eliminated some. We're going to do this again. It's going to break him. There was no way that was going to work for this Bachelor. I think they had really great women. And besides, there are some terrible ones, obviously, like bitches, like, and some that I didn't think were bitches and then turned out to be mean girls too. Like once the other mean girls left, and I probably because they're like fighting for camera time, they realize that's what's getting people somewhere. And they're really young. Like the oldest one left is 23 at this point, I think. So
they should always throw a 45-year-old in the mix just to like go like, you know, she's always like puffing on a cigarette. Like, girls, you have no idea what's out there. You know, like, let me show you the ways.
The conversation about Michelle Collins being the replacement for the host is what we need, because she is just enough aware of like how stupid this is, where Chris is still trying to act like, yeah, I'm here to like find you love, Matt. I want this for you. And it's like, do you know your retention rate? Like,
Well, we're also supposed to believe that Chris Harrison, the host, you guys, is an omnipotent, godlike figure that's always there at Matt's time of need. Like, you know, if Matt's crying, he's all of a sudden like, Matt, I see you crying over here. You know, like I wonder if there's somebody like just like Matt's looking teary. Rush, get him into costume, get him into costume. And he acts like this is completely real. Because even last, like this, the Tayshia and Claire season, when Claire was like leaving in that bizarre way, he was like, well, we are here to find you love. And I guess we did our job. It's just very early. You know, like, I mean, he's under this, he's acting this thing out completely.
He bought in too much. He went too far. I mean, he went too far in lots of ways, but he bought into his role as this like Cupid. I mean, there's a campaign of him as Cupid. Like, I have used that like as a meme before, like him like floating and shooting an arrow, like, but he does, that's not what he cares about. And he even like, he leaves in half the seasons. When he goes to paradise, he just like wanders in and he's like, oh, I'm on the clock. Like, he's so bothered by it. And I'm just like, okay, go. Like, I'm okay if you leave.
I was shocked to find out he wrote a book full of steamy sex scenes that they read from in this season.
That man's got pent up something. Like, and he wants to be the next Nicholas Sparks. And then he divorced his wife. And I really wanted him to get like with one of the Bachelorettes. Like,
isn't he with somebody that used to be on The Bachelorette?
Or the Bachelor? I don't think she used, did she? I wanted that. Like, that's the storyline I care about. And I made up in my head several times, but because there was also someone like way back in the day, I can't remember when, like one of the women got with a producer or something, or a cameraman, and like Chris Harrison had to like call her out and was like, we know what happened. Like, and those were the days. Like,
those are the days when you could do that without really causing, I don't really watch this, but I know Siesta Key on MTV, mm-hmm. one of the storylines is a producer from the first season actually comes back and is a character on the second season. And, you know, because he hooks up with one of the girls.
Ish. His name is Ish.
First off, that's a that's a warning sign right there. If your name is Ish, like.
He's also 50.
That's wild.
My fiance just looked up because he knows exactly that we're talking about Siesta Key, because we watched that together and we were like, this show is trash. We were so invested for two or three seasons. And then it suddenly was like.
And I know they had creepy Robbie with the white teeth.
Oh yeah. Bachelor Nation crossed over.
He has such white teeth that I figure if he opens and shuts his mouth, he's going to like get somebody to have a seizure or something.
Yeah, no, he has also climbed on so many different ladders.
Yeah.
I think he was on X on the Beach.
Well, like, he was trying to hook up with Sheena. Remember, like, him and Sheena were like good friends.
They went on a roller coaster.
And then there was like a story where, I don't think I've ever told this on the pod, but I have information where they went to Hawaii together, like those two and friends, and they had paparazzi shoot them on the beach walking, you know. But then Sheena had bought the tickets for the thing, and he tried to ditch paying her back.
It's the Apple Watch all over again.
Yeah,
she knows. She's literally
for Shishu. I mean, no, she's great. She's gonna be when I see all those like pregnancy photos with her, like Beyonce and stuff, like, I'm actually genuinely happy for Sheena. Like, this is
me too.
It's like this is the role she's been meant to play, and nobody can take it away from her, you know.
No, I'm very excited for Sheena. You know, the Bachelor pregnancy pack, or not Bachelor, Vanderpump Rules pregnancy pact, like, it's intense, like, when you see it, especially when they're all about to pop. I wish them all well. And I kind of like want to retract my statement from a few years ago where I was like, you know, they're all going to get knocked up. Everybody said this. We all thought they're going to get knocked up, and we don't want that show. We don't want it. I'm a little curious. Not like I don't want Jax and Brittany.
Oh my God, Jax. Okay, I was like, I got work. Lucy wants to see me.
No, isn't he like, he's been recording and thinking that he's gonna like get this footage out somewhere, and like, we all need to stand together against that. But I want to, Lala, like, to me still has like a few years from now, Real Housewives potential with Randall, like, you know, redoing her house. Or I just think of when Flipper Flop Jeff Lewis came there. There's just so much there that I need more.
Well, Jax did an interview this week, and by interview, I mean, he went on his Instagram live and told a bunch of lies. And he actually did talk about what you were just saying, which I had called from the beginning. I said, I bet Randall has footage of every one of those baby showers, and they have put together.
Yes, you said it. I said they put together,
I bet, a 10-minute pitch deck of Stassi, Bo, you know, Jax, Lala, Randall. Because remember, they all, you guys, they had all those baby showers, and there's that Jax of finding out it's a boy and stuff like that. And I was like, there's no way that Randall didn't front the money and they're putting some kind of thing to pitch. I will say, and this is between us, you guys listening, I did get somebody close to Stassi's camp that says that don't consider the source.
You being the source?
No. Jax said, don't believe everything Jax says. Jax talks out of his ass. So don't like today, Jax put on his Instagram that he was like producer life. And he was like working on something with Randall. And then there was also a Daily Mail article he put in his own story where he had framed a picture of Randall playing pickleball and gave it to him. And he got paparazzi giving it to him. And that's a Daily Mail article today. And he was so proud. Like he lives in Valley Village, but he also keeps a place up Randall's ass, a nice two bedroom. Yeah. It's wild.
He didn't play the game. Not that, like, Stassi is probably the ideal, like, played the game well and knew who to connect with and knew how to, and then she blew it all up.
But I still think Stassi's going to have a career.
I think she gets better PR people in place that don't put the same statement out that she's doing as Kristen Doty. That was the first mistake. Well, the first mistake was what she did, but I think the first mistake started there. Wrong. Yeah. Just to clarify. But I do think like Jax thought he was the show. And I think Stassi knew it was always going to go past the show. Eventually the show would burn out. And now it's this scrambling of like, well, wait, people don't care. Like people don't, well, it doesn't, like they're still getting ads and stuff. They have 300,000, you know, followers. Who's still following? I don't know. Like, is that an account? I mean, I might still follow Brittany. I'm blocked by Jax, but
you would really. I do want to know how many people like the number Jax is blocked.
Interact, and like, who's interacting with their stuff? Is it like on the feed? And Brittany's the last story. So if you're on a really slow day, you get to her. Like, who's checking in like all the time? Like, oh, I wonder how pregnancy's going.
Brittany posted again. Brittany, come here. Brittany posted again.
That's what I need.
Well, that's the kind of sadness that we're watching. The further you get along, like the further Vanderpump Rules is in quote unquote hiatus, the more it does become sad when you hit their stories. The more when you like, you know, it's like you can tell Jackson Valley Village, like everything's perfect. He has all the, you know, his wife's pancake candles they get from Bed Bath & Beyond. Everything's placed in a certain way. He's drawing man cave ideas. And it's like, you know, that it is slowly seeping into his reality that this was such a lucky break for all of those guys. And I just don't think, I don't think he can come back in particular, but he acts like he's self-producing. He'll say like, you know what? Towards the end, I just couldn't do it anymore. They were trying to force storylines. One season I was gay. One season I was just growing up. He goes, I'm a dad now. And he goes, you're not a dad yet. You're really frustrating.
No, he is the worst, and we knew that, but there was entertainment value with him in the show in that setting. And whether production got a hold of him, like he says, or the show fizzled with his role. I always said they needed to, like, Tom and Tom need to open another restaurant, like get fresh meat in there, not anybody, or like, you know, do a Restaurant Impossible or whatever when they're behind the scenes and they're like examining the restaurant, like live. Find the people like secretly that don't know they're being filmed, because you can't keep bringing people in that environment. And people who are applying to Sir are thinking they're going to get on the show. Like that's the goal when you apply there. It's not for great tips. Like, it's, they might make okay money, but like.
But also, people don't realize, Sir, the only reason Sir is still around is because of the show. The place is a shithole. No offense to all the people that I know work there, but like, TomTom actually is a really nice whole like vibe thing.
Yeah.
Sir is like, you can just like, it's like cracked leather. See, it's just like a weird thing that shouldn't still be around. It's like if Planet Hollywood was still around today, but they still, you know, and it's like the merch isn't even, it is just so bizarre, but I'm glad that it exists in a way, but it's just kind of like a, what is like the Hall of Presidents at Disney where it's like animatronic. It just feels very weird, you know?
This is all so meta because you're wearing your Sir hat.
Oh, sorry. I'm over it. I'll tell you that much.
I'm literally like, I just noticed. And you're like, you know what? But I'm glad it existed. And I'm like, I bet you are. The merch itself has taken you far.
No, well, I mean, I, how many $50 Sir candles do you want that like crack and chip? I've got like a couple and it's just not worth it.
It's nothing to Buca di Beppo. Like the Capri Room at Buca. That's See, where it's at now.
Buca di Beppo has not done anything to us. It is still innocent in all of our eyes. Lisa Rinna was in there having a little bit of a tip. But other than that, that thing is untapped. And nobody has gotten its hands on it because of quarantine. Nobody's had to have a meal in there. Like, I mean, it's there for the taking right now, you know?
They just need to put a rope and just block it off and you just like pass by. It's like, that's where they showed Brandy's text. Brandy showed the Denise text.
Brandy said she went down on Denise. And a lot of people. You know, I should pitch like an Ocean's 11 style kind of reboot where it's just people like us trying to break into the Buca di Beppo room. But you know, it's really slow because the whole time we're trying to document it, like get a picture over here. Yeah. Okay. So Vanderpump Rules. It's, I don't know. I just need Jax. You know what? I would almost forgive Jax if he said, hey, I don't like, I'm obviously had some real issues. I'm really scared. I'm not going to work again. I don't know. Like I probably just need to take that job in Tampa after all, you know, like if he just was honest with us, you know.
I don't want to speak ill of an unborn child.
Of the dead careers? Oh, sorry.
Of the dead careers of an unborn child. But I do feel that they are waiting. Not that they won't love their baby and everything, but like you're waiting for this baby for the surgence of Pampers ads and like the new, because like, I don't know, like influencers today, like you have these phases and like, you know, wedding stuff. God, I'd love to get sponsored by some wedding brands, you know, and then having kids. Sure. If Pampers wanted to send me something, I have followers. Like
if Pampers wants to send me something, I will have a kid. Yeah. Like reach out to me and I will consider having a kid.
That's what I mean. I do think there's something about like the monetary, not that like, I think they've all saved better than I assume, to be fair. I don't think anyone is in a bad place. I mean, they all bought houses. I would think Jax and Brittany. But honestly, a lot of them are duos. So they all got paychecks together. Like Stassi's the only one who was earning money really on her own until Bo joined the cast, but he had a job. So I do think, you know, I just think the next phase of like, if it can't get a show, how are we making money? Well, it's Instagram ads. And like, it's going to be the kids.
Will we get how early into this do you think, day one or day two, that we get a bare-chested Jax with the baby on his bare chest?
Day one.
Yeah, like I have a sense he might even
take the baby from Brittany.
Umbilical cord. Yeah. It's just him and the baby. Like I have, and like, then I bet the caption is, "It's just us now, kid."
Yeah. I did this.
Or no, you know what? I hate to say it, it'll be like, Dad, look at us, you know.
No, but I'm
saying that's what he does. Every time he wants sympathy, he pulls that card like his dad has an Instagram account in heaven.
I do think about that with Instagram. I do feel for, he's a shit person, but there's a lot of feelings. Shit. Yes. And I've thought about this a lot, especially, you know, with our own accounts and them growing, and I don't get any shit, but like, these people, like people watch these shows and we watched it to enjoy it. And sure, we're shitting on it right now. We're laughing at him, but like, that's it. Like there are people sitting in his DMs and sitting in her DMs and just taunting them and saying terrible stuff. And he's blocking them. She's having to deal with it. Like, just think some people take it too far. And for someone like Jax, understandably, but also it's Jax, like, he's constantly triggered and he's constantly battling back. And like, I'm always up against the fence and everyone's after me. And yeah, it's like, I'm saying right now, like, I don't care, Jax. Like, I don't need to know, but I bet he still is constantly attacked. So he's presenting this. And I'm like, you're not even on the show. Who's coming for
he
you?
He always preaches ignore the trolls and then never ignores the trolls.
So he's the troll.
He's the head troll. He's the king troll. Like, I totally agree with that. And by the way, I do want to point out to everybody, Jax 1,000% is living 10 times a better life than I am. Like, essentially, he has, I mean, there's not a contest between me and Jax, even though there is one in my head. He has won. He has fully won. Like, no matter what happens at this point, he has still won. So, like, whatever I say, it is just a bitter, bitter man, you know? I would even call myself a boy. It's a bitter boy. Okay, I hate to break such a fun talk like Jax. The last time we talked was in early January, the day the news broke that Kim was going to potentially file for divorce from Kanye, which was fascinating that they gave us like a heads up. Like, they gave us a month and a half. We found out that Laura Wasser, an attorney, was kept on retainer for close to a year, which is insane. And that was the day we talked and that news had just broke. Today is so eerie. Lucy, do you notice that, like, do you hear that? It's like silence. No real big pop culture stories broke today.
Nope. Tiger Woods. That's it.
Yeah. But Tiger Woods rolled it. He's going to be okay.
Right.
But I will say the news even took it as like the biggest pop culture story. Like, every CNN, MSNBC, like, they were breaking in.
My mom called me. I'm like, why are you calling me about Tiger Woods? Do you like this is not your idol or anything?
I got the TMZ alert, the Daily Mail alert, the People alert.
Yeah. No, it was pretty, it has been quiet. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to will it, but I do kind of like, is something going to happen this hour while we're speaking? So I have my phone next to me in case there's an alert. But I wanted to talk about the Kim thing with you because you really are a student of the Kardashians. And I did talk to a couple people that it kind of made me, because when this happened, I was like, okay, well, finally that shoe is dropped. We're going to start moving on. And I talked to somebody that was actually very quite sad about it, you know, was very sad about their relationship. They really loved each other. And it made me kind of soften. I wasn't like, screw them, but
was
I kind of
Danielle? Was it Holla Back Hearts? She every day I feel like she's got another like sob, like, no.
Yeah, even she was posting all the, you know, this is sad. They loved each other. You know, it's like, and it did make me think, okay, like, you're right. That is. And I was very sad for the kids, of course.
Yeah.
But more fascinating to me, and I don't know if you could speak about this, was the structure of this, of the letting us know early January and then the planting of certain stories. Like last week we had the, the photograph of her sans ring without a wedding ring. Mm-hmm. And then we got this news finally dropped. I feel like this is very carefully orchestrated.
Well, there's been some, and I'm pretty sure I saw it on Not Skinny, Not Fat. And I cannot remember the person who did this on TikTok. I'll find it and share it. But it's someone had gone through a lawyer or something and analyzed the situation. She said it back in January. She said, I'm going to tell you now because in California laws, it dropped then. And she said they're hinting at it then to imply separation, because you need a date of separation in California to then do a date of divorce. So then you don't incur each other's debts or their things salaries or whatever. Yeah. She launched 20 some products since like January 4th. Like nonstop with her all the time. Skims, it's another drop. It's another drop. It's another perfume. It's another makeup. Like, so Kanye gets none of that. Because that was all, is that what that's for? And also, is Kanye about to have some big, like, I mean, I don't think his shoes are doing great. And Kim definitely doesn't need to promote him anymore. There has to be something financially, it seemed, based on this lawyer, just like how she said the timing of it and California law. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, that was also, if you guys remember, this is probably too old for you guys, but like when Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise split up, it was right before the 10-year mark, which makes everything, you know, which makes everything like split. And it was right. It was like oddly like a month before that 10-year mark.
I forgot that.
Yeah. But well, Also, have you, I mean, it's just fascinating. Have you noticed like Kim's already like you doing pops of color in her stories and stuff?
Her stories are completely different. Like everything about her is, I don't know. She's making jokes when she did the driver's license song the other day. And she's like listening to that. She's teasing Kris Jenner, the kids. It feels flirty, looser, not as contrived. Like, I don't know.
Are we going to see Kim in some wet seal outfits? What's going to happen with her fashion? You know,
I don't know. I meant to make this connection earlier, but I am waiting for the announcement of Kim as the Bachelorette. Like, bring it on. Can you imagine?
Could you imagine hometowns on that? Could you imagine Kris Jenner?
Oh,
could you
shit, imagine, no!
Could you imagine like Food God? Like, she's been my friend forever, and I'm going to tell you how she is. We're going to eat melted cheese together.
Hometowns, make it happen. Wow. I think somewhere I heard there is some, and I don't know if it's Peacock or HBO Max. And again, I feel like I always come on your show and I have some hearsay that I don't remember where I
love
it.
Hearsay. Like, by the way, this podcast should be called Allegedly, because nothing you hear here is like true, you guys.
It should be called Allegedly. It just covers it all, just in case.
Yeah, allegedly, yes.
But I think there is a celebrity dating show coming out. Like, they're doing celebrities, like, matching them with real people. Like, and I can't remember who, like, is hosting it. But, to find the people that, like, don't care, but I guess they'd care about celebrity. Maybe you're hiring all these people and being like, you're trying out for blah, blah, blah. Or, like, this is the Raya dating app for TV. Like, I don't know. But I just picture, like, Kim is single now. Like, is Kris going to be like, all right, this is the career move we've got to make. We got to, like, I'm dropping hints that I'm single now is her meme.
But, but after watching like Kim and Kanye interact and stuff like that, like, I think I would really freak out if I saw Kim on, I'm trying to even think of the options for Kim at this point, you know? And like, and you know what, did you ever watch Real Housewives of Miami? You did, right?
Yes.
So I just started my Real Housewives of Miami journey today because I'm talking about it on my Patreon. And it was fascinating to watch Larsa in there because you guys, I knew she was in it, but I didn't realize she was like one of the leads. And then I was like, that's Larsa. And I was like, I call her Larva, but she's the amount she's changed. And she's like been married to Scottie Pippen at this point for like 10 years on the show.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking of the Larsa I know of, like Future, all these, the basketball player that just cheated on his girlfriend. And I'm like, what happened to Larsa? Well, now, did you hear Larsa's talking to the Kardashians again? She was with Scott Disick the other day.
Scott Disick. And she, in whoever, I can't remember who they're saying for the Miami reboot is happening. Maybe Lisa Hodgkins. Somebody, I mean, you know. Joanna Krupa. I'm not going to say that
that was Brandi Glanville, right?
I don't want to get sued, but
allegedly
she's not coming back. And who is it that I love? She feels like the grand dame dom of Miami.
Oh, Kim.
Leah Black not coming back. So, but I think it's Lisa Hotch. I can't say her last name, but whoever it was hanging out. Larsa was in her videos this weekend. Like, they were together in Miami. So, and there's a Page Six article that says everyone and their mother trying to get cast on Miami.
Well, but also, you guys, you can never trust those statements that get put out there of like, Larsa's rejoining the cast, because I do want to point out Caitlyn did that with like, yeah, baby, we're going to Beverly Hills. I'm Real Housewives, baby. Woo! Like they put out TMZ alerts saying she had joined the cast and it was completely made up. So
yeah.
Larsa is definitely wanting to be on the cast, but
yes.
I think it is yet to be an official. And I gotta say, after watching the first season, I kind of would love to know what's going on with, I hate to say, I don't want to
open
that box, but I am a little curious.
That's like me and the Vanderpump baby. See, it happens.
Yeah, because remember when she showed up on Selling Sunset and I was like, this is so desperate. This is so desperate.
But I think, look, you need a little desperate for a housewife. And I think she is primed and ready to think that she's coming back into the reality TV spotlight and she's the lead. And I think she does have enough of the connections in Miami. It could work, but I think she is so thirsty. She's out there with Scott and his adopted child right now, the foster kid. Like, he's like she's begging for it in my eyes.
What color hair does Scott have to get for us to actually come and help him? I feel like he's crying out at this point, and it just is getting bizarre and more intense colors on his hair. He's dying. And he's look, I mean, to me, I'm reading into this, of course, he's looking rough. And I hate to say that this is like, you know, Travis and Courtney related, but is there a part of you that feels like he is crying out for help and this isn't going down a good road?
I need the Kardashian final season to come back quickly because
Isn't it in three weeks?
And I need it because I don't like this Scott. And I've always been a Scott apologist, and yeah, I'll admit that.
Me too.
And I like Scott. This Scott is, I'm not alarmed. I just think we're going through like a really big midlife crisis. And if I was Lisa Rinna, I would go get her daughter. Like, I would be like,
yeah, this is Lisa Rinna going to get her daughter, Amelia. And then she just dances in front of it, like, right, trying to find a camera.
I just don't think that, like, Amelia, like, he's really aging himself down to fit. It's not like she's having to, you know, be like out at dinners and formal events and like, which is fine for her. But like, I'd be concerned that this almost 40-year-old man is.
The Sophia thing was when he was with Sophia Richie. I mean, I got to say, like, I didn't buy into it, but I was like,
yeah,
okay, you know what? Probably a special relationship. Obviously looks like she's hanging in there. And then that relationship broke up. And for him to go, I'm like, oh, this is just the age he dates. You know, like, I thought it was Sophia was a special thing, like where they just really got along. And now I'm like, oh, he's exclusively date. And no offense, but Amelia Bedelia is like a B-rate Sophia Richie. Like, I mean, like, I personally am not an Amelia Bedelia fan, you know?
She's starting to kind of look like Chloe. There's been some photos recently where she is like 19. So I know that we're like going through like, she's a model, like she's stunning. I get it. I just don't get this. This feels Sophia Richie, like you said, I feel like, okay, in the Calabasas Hills, kind of the same way Courtney and Travis have been hanging out. Like, he crossed Sophia Richie's path at one of Kylie Jenner's slumber parties one time. And like, then she grew up. And,
who's your friend, Kylie?
Yeah. Like, he waited a few years and then he's like, okay. But like, the Amelia storyline there's something, I feel weird for her. I'm like, she could get someone else. Like, she's cute. Like, you could go, like, I like Scott.
There's not a problem with her getting guys, but there is, I mean, this Scott is a high profile guy in terms of those men.
Well, now with this pink hair.
Well, also the thing you guys have to, you know, is that they also consider themselves all master media manipulators. So it is interesting that I do think I don't know what image they're trying to present, but I don't think it's necessarily going the way that they might have wanted it to. But the Kardashians coming back in 3 weeks brings that to the other point of like, what amazing, that's amazing media manipulation. Mm-hmm. Announce the divorce. And then say the show's coming back in a month. And even in that said they will be talking about the Kim and Kanye relationship on the final season. Like, what a tease for a final season.
I mean, they didn't really have anything else. And I still watch every time they don't. Like, I buy in every time. I said that trailer, when it dropped and they said Courtney and Scott laid on the sofa together at opposite ends of a 20-foot sectional, I was like, invested, click, like, yes, it's gonna happen. And then a day later, you know, I knew he was with Amelia, I knew she was maybe talking to Travis, like, there were rumors, and I was still like, yeah, I'm gonna buy into it. I'm happy with the Courtney and Travis relationship, but they're also like really shoving it down our throats for her being the most private sister. She seems very like, here's us holding hands. Here's the same fireplace. Here's the same pool.
I'm sorry. That whole thing just bores me. I'm happy if they're happy, but not skinny, not fat. She is so in love with them as a couple. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I mean, like, I just feel like they're a slow news couple. Like, if they're happy, I'm happy. I mean, or whatever. I mean,
yeah. But
Travis Barker's amazing drummer. Seems like a good dude. Courtney, you know, is fine. Like, everything's, but it's like, I don't, there's no, magic in it for me, which I'm not in the relationship, but for like when I open up Natsuki not fat, she's like, I am dying. Oh my God. There's just the same fireplace.
And I don't know. Yeah. I feel like with the Kardashian stuff, even with the divorce this week, like, because we already knew 2 months ago, I was kind of like, oh, are we supposed to be like, I thought we knew this was happening.
Yeah.
And then with the relationship, this, like the Courtney and Travis thing was already kind of leaking out. We kind of knew. And then there's the confirmation. And I kind of was like, am I supposed to feel different than I do? Because everyone else is losing their shit.
See, that's what I saw Hollaback Card Stories. I was like,
so upset.
I was like, I'm such a jerk. I am not feeling this way. And then I was like, okay, yeah. Because guys, you know, I've been into pop culture since I was a kid. I've been to everyone in Kanye's tours. I've been to, like, I remember all of that crap. I remember the wall of roses that they took their wedding photos in front of that Kanye picked out. He'd planned the entire wedding.
They flew to Paris, but it was really in Italy.
And then everybody, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, God, think about Rob when he flew back because he didn't like himself in the, that's brutal. And but we never really saw Rob again after that.
But except for this season, he's in the trailer the same amount of times as Addison Rae, which I think is criminal. You bring Rob back in the trailer. He is in there once, and so is Addison Rae. That is the bar we've set for Rob. I don't know.
But see, this goes to show how differently we treat men and women. The Kardashian women, like I've always said, their biggest mistake is their men in their life. But like Rob gets championed for like putting his name on some socks. Like these girls have to do 40 product lines per sibling, and still they don't get the love that Rob gets from Kris Jenner. Like Rob is a golden boy, regardless of what he does. Like if you were that rich, I've told my friends, if I was that rich, I would literally pay trainers to move Oh, did I lose you?
No. Yeah. For a second.
Did I lose you?
Yeah. I can hear you now.
Cool.
Sorry.
I was just saying, Rob, I would pay people to move my body if I was Rob, and he can't even do that. You know,
I hate that for Rob. Because I also like with the camera, like I'm looking at the camera of me right now and I'm like, oh my God, I should have put on makeup. Like,
dude, I've got white in my beard. I've gained 20 pounds. I'm like, I'm disgusting. Like,
couldn't imagine because he didn't sign up for, like he did. And like, okay. And then it blew up. And then they made it even more than it was. And they've made this, 14 seasons. This is insane. And he's like, okay, wait, I don't want to. And his storyline, and that's why, Khloé changed her whole face and body to not be the storyline Khloé was. Like Kylie, I feel like they were put into buckets and Rob wasn't allowed to escape the bucket that's like, oh, Rob. Oh, poor Rob. And it's like, He got Chris's house. Like he and Dream are doing fine. Like they
remember
are
when Kris Jenner would like Blac Chyna made fun because Kris Jenner was like stocking food over at Rob's house for him.
Yes,
remember, like, I mean with the diet foods and Blac Chyna made fun of him. I was like, damn, that's dark.
I mean, think of the Blac Chyna days were glorious days when he posted like her vagina on Twitter.
I remember, you guys, that was the 5th of July when that happened. I remember specifically, it was the day after and I was driving to work. And then all of a sudden I almost crashed on the 101 because Rob had posted Blac Chyna's vagina. And I sent it to my girl, like my friend that's a girl. And she goes, yo, you're not allowed to send me stuff like this. And I was like, I'm sorry. I just thought it was like crazy, you know?
I screamed audibly at work and like everyone, like I worked at People, but I was like a assistant like for print. So we just love to talk pop culture anyway. So everyone knew it was like something's happening scream. And then I was like, I can't show you this. You're my boss. Like I can't, I just was like, you're going to have to go at your own risk. And, but it was Amanda Bynes talking about Drake, like level on Twitter. And
I remember the night. I remember the night Amanda Bynes tweeted, "I want Drake to murder my thing." You know, like I remember. I've always been. I've been the same place for all of these things on my couch. Like, but I've been a part of all of this. You know.
Yeah. No.
Khloe Kardashian should have done a season like of Revenge Body with Rob. Just a whole season. For the whole season.
I bet they storyboarded that. Like, I think they probably worked through that. Rob just was like, no, not showing up.
You made a great point earlier in that even Amelia is starting to look like the Kardashians. you know, I do. Somebody sent me this or something. They had touched up famous photos of like Marilyn Monroe. I think it was a bunch of older mm-hmm. famous, beautiful actresses, and they had kind of glammed them up how they would look today. And it kind of showed you what a certain style of face that we have personified as beauty now. And that yeah. has really been kind of driven by the Kardashians to the point where I was wondering, do you ever think I said this earlier this week, like, do they have team meetings with their surgeons and going, hey, we're all trying to get this one bump in our nose so we look very similar. Like, is it, it has to be that planned out because we're starting to see really similar looks out there.
I mean, I would think that first of all, surgeons are like artists. I would guess like you're known for the same nose. Like I have a friend I know who had a nose job and my other friend, like they had like deviated septums, like broken noses. Like they're like, I'm always going to get it done. They got it done. Then my other friends were asking me like, I want to go because I see your nose. So it is like a recommendation. Like it's a referral billboard for anyone, but within your own family, like it's definitely, I don't know. It's also the lips, like Kylie's face is tight. Like it's not moving.
Yeah.
Chloe's is, I don't know where her nose went. And I don't like want to comment on looks in the sense that like, do what you want to do.
No.
Happy is what, yeah, but it is, I don't know. I don't feel the perception that I'm going to ever look like that. So I don't worry about it, but I'm sure younger, like, I don't know, but I also was watching movies with Marilyn Monroe and I grew up that way, like with those actresses more. My mom loved them. So, but I don't know.
Well, I think it influences the Kardashians because we have a record. We have a visual record of how they have looked to how they are now. And that's, I think, why it is such a interesting topic and not in like that they look ugly or pretty or whatever, but the amount that they have changed. And I will say to credit, they have, there hasn't been any real, I mean, Chloe's nose maybe, but no real botched surgeries where it's like, I'm trying to understand where if you know, they have the best people doing this, how do things like Demi Moore's catwalk cheekbones happen? Like, how does that, like, because Demi Moore, beautiful woman.
Is that real woman, though?
But how does, like, that's what I don't understand is that like, is that a bad reaction that skin has? Like, shouldn't this be cut and dry where a good plastic surgeon would not have that happen? Or remember, you know, with romantic comedies, you love Meg Ryan. Meg Ryan had a couple of years where she looked unrecognizable. And I just sometimes want, like, and Meg Ryan was that personification of beauty in this like really beautiful, cute, quirky way.
Yeah.
And just, it went with her personality. And then right around like Proof of Life with Russell Crowe, she did something with her face and it just kind of, you know, Renee Zellweger had a moment like this as well. And then
I can't tell later, if it gets fixed or it like just settles
down.
Vicki
Gunvalson had something like this happen in one of the seasons of OC. And by the way, I like you said, I'm not commenting on looks, but it is something that you have to, if you're into pop culture, recognize that this is out there. I'm just wondering how that happens. But then the Kardashians have the best people and they usually never screw up.
Well, it's documented. You're right. It's so documented now. Like even if people had gotten a nose job or something, you weren't out paparazzi shots or you on Instagram or, and your own editing and the filters they're using is throwing it off too. I mean, everyone's posting about the Chloe Stretch app this week and it's like, what are you trying to put out there?
I think
like, what do you want me to take from that?
I think Erica Jane is doing the same thing where it's, I think they're trying to now say that this is like a form of performance art.
I was just going to say it's art.
Well, because it is so ridiculous at this point that I know they know we know it's not real. So their thing is, well, I like to see myself like that. And I'm like a human piece of art. And I think maybe that is something. And especially with like Erica Jane posting Savage Fenty all the time. I don't know. I think that's like I don't think that's what they mean to do, but I think it's a reliable thing for them to excuse it on.
I think it has to be a level of body dysmorphia too, like just how you, I don't know, because I used to use that Snapchat filter that had the really, really wide mouth and it was like definitely a joke. But I said before, like, I feel really pretty in this animated cartoon filter. And I said it to my friend once and she was like, no, I've also had that filter on before and thought like, ah, how cute. Like, I look cute and I would use it. So, people are like, this is so weird. Like, stop using this. But I was like, well, I look rough right now, so I rather look cute.
Yeah. Like, I put on one of those and I was like, and it was one of those things. I was just like, damn, like I really look great. And I almost like held it up to the ceiling. Like, so God could see, like, look, we were so close. We were so close to me looking perfect, you know? And that's why I was like, I always joke about that. Like, if God exists, like, is he frustrated? Is he like, thanks for pitching in? You guys look great. It is all bizarre, but you know, everybody's beautiful.
You get up to heaven's gates and he's like, all right, like, come on. He's like, how old are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't recognize you. This isn't the Chloe I made. Oh, I'm sorry. No. You wait in purgatory until that wears off. Romantic comedies. So your podcast, Vino Nothing, which you had a while back, and then you brought it back in the last couple of months, and you were focusing on romantic comedies, right?
Yes. So I had done it before. I've said this every time I'm on someone else's podcast. It's so impressive. And I feel like there's so many out there now, but it's so impressive, like being on yours and the work that goes into it. My friend Kate Kennedy, there's the work they're putting in, and it's so much you're doing.
Kate Kennedy, you'll never listen to this, but I've tried. I DM her all the time. Like, she did. It's just like she's so impressive. Kate Kennedy, be there in five.
She's so everything.
I know I'm not a woman, but like, she inspires me as a young woman. Like, I'm not a young woman, but I'm like, she inspired. Like, she's so, just like the way she lives her life is so cool.
Yeah, she's even cooler in person, and I try not to girl crush on her, but. I want to text her all my like problems, like career advice, anything. Like, we talk about, we literally have to block off like 3 hours to discuss all my issues. And then at the end, I'm like, so did you have anything? Like, how are you? Like, I always forget. I'm like, I'm such a terrible friend, but I'm using you. But I think but people are doing it so well. And I couldn't keep up with, you know, recapping shows. I couldn't keep up with anything. So I was like, I don't care enough. Like, I'm doing it on my stories anyway. Long story short, I just was like, you know, I like to talk about rom-coms. And even if no one listens, that is all I want to talk about 90% of the time on my own Instagram account. Like, I'll find a way to get back to Meg Ryan. So I've been trying to time it up. We did a few episodes and then stopped for a little bit. And I'm trying to time it up with like anniversary dates. But there's so many like in certain months, which makes sense. Those are like
anniversary dates of the movies or anniversary dates in your life. Okay.
No, not anniversary. Like anniversary. My, like,
this is when we got engaged. I'm in Seattle. Yeah.
No, he would kill me if that's the movie I picked for our.
Wait, does he not like Sleepless? Do you not like Sleepless in Seattle?
He likes Sleepless in Seattle. Fine. He calls You've Got Mail Sleepless in Seattle 2 to torture me. No.
Well, Tom and Meg. Yeah. It's Tom and Meg. In fact, no. I really hope they do a three-peat of that. They have to. Yeah.
I think so. Oh, no, those are my favorite. Meg is my Nora Ephron, like, say no more. But no, just trying to figure out, like, I don't know, because I whatever happened, I was Googling something and I've been doing it. I mean, as we're all sitting here and watching these movies, and especially when they come on randomly on E or something. And you're like, I haven't seen this in a while. I'll watch. And then I start Googling, where is this person now? What are they doing now? The weirdest stuff is out there that I like didn't know, or weird casting calls that you never knew who was going to actually be in that role. So that's kind of why I did it. Cause I was like, there is so much out on the Wikipedias.
Like, is there a couple like random things that you can tell us that like, oh my God, trying to think, this person almost got this role.
I was researching Pretty Woman, and who almost got Pretty Woman? Well, Pretty Woman was
originally called
3000, and it was like just about the amount of money that she made, and it was a lot darker. And then Disney actually took the script, so it's a Disney movie, and it's the only R-rated, or not the only R-rated, but it's the highest grossing R-rated movie they have. And they did not want Julia Roberts. She wasn't really well known then. She had just done Mystic Pizza maybe, and Steel Magnolias wasn't out yet, but she had filmed it. And Richard Gere didn't want to do the role. And he was like, I'm not. They wanted Meg Ryan. They wanted Molly Ringwald. Like, there were so many different people, and she fought for it, got the role. And it was a whole different script, like way darker. And then they made it a love story because of casting her and made
and,
it more
and,
like.
And I think Gary Marshall, too, the director, is like such a, he had such a lighthearted vibe, like all of his films, like kind of, you know, but it is, guys, it is about a prostitute. And yet we still remember that is a Cinderella story. And you know, it's funny because they it comes down to the plot that she's never actually slept with somebody yet. You know, like she that like isn't he like isn't him isn't Richard Gere her first client? And then we find
no,
out
he's,
later in the
movie. That's the first one he kissed. She kisses, but like,
oh,
I
yeah,
think
never
he's
on the lips,
she,
never on the lips.
Never on the lips. No, she cried the whole time, her first time.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Yeah, she, but like, it's I don't know. I watched that movie like probably when I was way too young. And then I do remember like vividly my mom not letting me watch it anymore because I would get it. Like she fast forwarded through certain parts and whatever. And I was like, oh, what a cute movie. And then I wasn't allowed to watch it because like shoot it was too
she's like say what
she's like you're gonna catch on and so
and then you're
like
mom
years.
Big mistake big yeah. huge
yes but it was it's dark watching it as an adult I'm like yeah it's a love story
I remember watching one of my friends in like one of my girlfriends in junior high watch that movie and when the at the end like when the must have been love but it's all her like just bawling like I mean like I had never seen a 13-year-old girl like cry like that. I mean just bawling and I mean it was a sad moment but she was I remember I'd never seen a girl cry that hard before and I was like whoa that's magic
it's a magical movie
crying,
and it's
movie.
No yeah but it is but then I was also thinking and it was also Danielle from Hollow Back Cards that like helped inspire me to do this podcast because we were talking about like Uptown Girls and we randomly started texting about it. And she was like, I said, they're not together anymore in real life. Right. Like this couple didn't make it. And we went through this whole analysis of like, no, they definitely didn't end up together. And same with Richard Edward and Vivian from Pretty Woman. I don't think they're still together. Like, I think Vivian, like, you know, I think she dipped out. She was like, all right, after a few months, he's a shitty guy. He's a weirdo. Like, and she was like, I've had a great, you know what? I really did love you, but it's not, this isn't going to work out. And I can go be a different person now. Like,
well isn't it Richard Gere and Julia Roberts then reteamed for Runaway Bride later
which was
on
also
in their careers?
Gary Marshall again.
I don't think they had, I think Pretty Woman is a kind of like in like just kind of frozen in amber. Whereas Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks are amazing. Like I could see them again as a couple,
yes.
Like, I'm just saying Runaway Bride didn't have the same impact where I think You've Got Mail continues to grow and grow and grow. And I mean, I think they are, nobody's asking this, but I just think they are they're the top romantic couple compared to Richard and Julia.
I agree. I did love Runaway Bride. I mean, you're going to like, there's not very few I don't like. There's like Never Been Kissed, like infuriates me.
Wait, you don't like Never Been Kissed?
I do not. That is such a creepy movie. That are teacher thinks she is. Come on.
It has
such
a perv. It has one of the best movie soundtracks of any movie soundtrack. I used to listen to that soundtrack, Never Been Kissed. You're right. Okay, now that I'm thinking
about it. We have talked about movie soundtracks, though, before. Last time I was on or the time before, we got caught up in the movie soundtrack. But
I don't think they do movie soundtracks anymore.
Like they used to.
It was so good. Like, well, I mean, Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail. I mean, those
You've
were
got
amazing
mail
soundtracks.
There's a playlist on Spotify that's like Nora Ephron and Friends. And it's like songs that are or would be in her movies because it's so, you know, La Vie en Rose. It's Harry Connick Jr. It's so jazzy and lovely. The puppy song
Mail. Harry Connick Jr. did the When Harry Met Sally soundtrack.
Yes.
And it's like it was Harry Connick's big break because Rob Reiner was like, who's this guy? And they made him. You know what? I'll put the music in so you guys hear. It's so, so good.
And I agree that half of the time I love movies and like the music has to be right. And you can tell and I think of scenes all the time in my head that I'm like, God, I would write that, but that would be the song. Or I'll hear a song. I'm like, that belongs perfectly in a movie with this moment. And I think some movies are getting that back. Like I watched To All the Boys, like I Loved Before, all three of those. And
they had
great soundtracks.
They
played a lot of homage to that from the books and stuff. So I think people still appreciate it, but it is, no, a soundtrack just isn't what it used to be from 90s. And there are some movies that I hadn't seen. Like we're watching stuff. What did I watch the other day? I watched I'd never seen Just Friends. with
That's so goofy, hysteria. Like, that's so Ryan Reynolds, Anna Faris. If you have a couple drinks, and like I did around Christmas, and I drunkenly ordered it,
yes.
It was such a fun $2.99 rental, you guys. If you had your tipsy on the holidays, it was
everyone
so fun.
Says it's their favorite like Christmas movie, and I was like, wow, I hadn't.
I mean, like snow, right there.
The Santa blows up, like, and then what's the Jennifer Love Hewitt one?
What You Did Last Summer.
No, a rom com that they're in.
Oh, the one like, with the mom, the Sigourney Weaver.
No, they're graduating that night, and like they graduated.
With the kid from Empire Records, and like,
yes.
I know, Can't Hardly Wait.
Can't Hardly Wait. Yeah. Yes. I watched it. That was the first time I'd seen it, which my boyfriend, fiance, he's 7 years older than me. So that was like Jennifer Love Hewitt was his, like that was him in high school. And I was just a little later and I didn't have older siblings. So I just never watched it. And when I admitted that, it's still like, I still am getting dragged by my followers. They were like, you cannot call yourself a rom-com connoisseur.
It is
you
weird. That's weird. That's like a big gap, but we all have those big gaps, you know,
yes.
Like we just miss something that's very important in the fabric of pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the soundtracks are really important. And I really need to champion anybody, any filmmakers out there to really make that happen, because it's the only way that kids that sneak in to watch these movies or get to watch these movies with their parents, discover new music. You know, I remember You've Got Mail had a Stevie Wonder song. And then I got really into Stevie Wonder after You've Got Mail. And like, they really help point you in the way of music that you might never know, because there's like 10 good songs from 10 different artists or used to be on soundtracks. Pretty mm-hmm. Woman soundtrack. Great. King of Wishful Thinking, Go West. You had all of these amazing things. And I get sad sometimes for kids that I don't think they have that anymore. Well, there's just too much music.
I mean, they stream music so differently, but I agree. I also just think it makes the movie, like it can make or break. It just guides you. It's, I don't know, it's like commercial breaks, but it's these inner segments, like really, really small pieces that can influence the next scene so much, or how your mood is going into the next thing. And if it's down or up, and usually you pick that up from the characters, but I think it just even makes it, I don't know. You've Got Mail is my ultimate soundtrack.
But is there a movie, a romantic comedy that you love that everybody hates? Is there anyone that's like, oh, this one personally means a lot to me and nobody else seems? For me, it's Meet Joe Black.
Okay, I haven't seen that in so long, but it's on my list of ones to, we can cover that. You can come on
and it's 3 hours long. I went into the theater, I went out thinking like, this is going to be the best movie of the year. I'd seen like a sneak preview of it before it got released, and it got critically panned. Everybody hated it. And I thought it was the most romantic thing. It like was about death and life. And I was like, this is so beautiful. Crazy. Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot. I'm comparing to what, like I've watched so many because we ran out of shows, and then I have all these DVDs because I hoard DVDs. So I watched so many again that I hadn't seen in a few years, and some that I watch like every few months. But I definitely like, I don't know. I think some people like Wimbledon has terrible reviews, and I loved Wimbledon. Like he's already like gesturing.
I saw Wimbledon in the theater. Kirsten Dunst. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. I think that one is such an underrated movie. The Wedding Date, everybody loves it, but it has like very terrible reviews. Rotten Tomatoes is my favorite thing right now to read through as I'm going through these, because some of the reviews that were written are so clever and so ridiculous that I've been reading them on my podcast because I think they're so funny how serious people take it, which I do too, obviously, if I'm talking about it, but like, really harsh reviews for most rom-coms. Like Wedding Planner has ridiculously terrible reviews, but it's a classic.
Well, because people either go into romantic comedies wanting to be reminded of why love is amazing, to mm-hmm. have that feeling of something like very special. And then half of them want to go in because they've been scorned and they screw romance. And this sucks because that's not even how it is, because she would leave 2 weeks after that. You know, like people either go in really wanting to believe or wanting to go in and already hate it because they hate love, you know?
I just feel like there's a very underappreciated balance of romantic comedies, because you can go so cheesy or you can go like too, nobody wants too realistic, like, because you'll just go live that. You see that every day. So there's this fine balance of like, obviously, like, I don't know, when I analyze You've Got Mail, sure, I think Kathleen Kelly and Joe Fox have gone through extensive therapy. He closed her businesses, like, he ruined her life. But they're in love. Like,
and there's no more bookstores anymore. Like, if you had it now, it's like, what if Joe works for Amazon now? And
yeah, what does he do? Yeah, it's wild. I also love that too, of like, especially rom-coms, because they really just didn't exist, or they trickled off so much that it is this, like, watching them, it is really 2000s, 90s, and there's definitely sprinkled throughout. There's 80s classics, but the 2000s and like late 90s ones are so just like a time capsule that, like, you can just point your kids to that. Like, You've Got Mail, like the AOL sound when that opens up, that makes me happy. I remember that, like, listening to my mom's computer and thinking, yeah, like, oh, I can't call my friend, like, that, like, I can't break her connection.
That's what, do you think, were you ever into The Office?
Okay, so I have watched The Office. I do know, but he's also going to start gesturing again, because it weirdly, and I know I'll get banned for this, it makes me very anxious how terrible Michael Scott is. I can't watch several episodes in a row.
So you probably hate movies like Meet the Parents or something where everything goes drastically wrong. You probably hate shit like that.
I like Meet the Parents. I don't like, I have very, very bad secondhand embarrassment. Like, I will leave the room.
Well, that's all Michael Scott's character is secondhand embarrassment.
So some of it I'm ha ha ha, but a few episodes in, I'm suddenly really worked up because I don't even care what's coming next. And I'll know what's coming. Like, I'll have seen the episode and I still have to go, oh, I gotta leave. I gotta go. Like, it gets me that bad.
Comedy used to, like, back in like the 80s and 90s, comedy was on the punchline, and shows like The Office made it, comedies were in the uncomfortable silences. That, yes, like Michael Scott, it would be the laugh would be in the uncomfortable silence instead of on what he said. Do you think, like, my always thought is, like, did Jim and Pam make it? You know, because Jim and Pam is like a beloved couple, but at the same time, if you look at the relationship and if you look at the job he got in the last seat, like, it seems like they had a lot of things stacked up against them.
I want to think they made it. I just found, like, them much more entertaining separately than, like, to get, like, I like his antics with Dwight. Like, Dwight was the relationship I cared about for Jim. Like, I loved Dwight and Jim.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I, like, Pam is great. And I, like, you know, I'm happy for them. They made it work. But, like, it wasn't the exciting relationship. Like, it was more real,
awesome,
I guess.
Wait, that's an awesome comment. I mean, because a lot of people think, well, yeah, relationships are usually only exciting to the people that are in the relationships. Are there any celebrity relationships where you're like, that is very exciting, them together? Like, I ship that completely. And by the way, I'm a grown man saying ship it. I'm ashamed of myself. But, like, is there something where you're like, that is an exciting relationship and together, but separately, you know, but together it's magical?
I would say,
oh, Brad and Jen.
No, together and separate, they're wonderful.
I forgot who I was talking to. Brad and Jen is huge.
I was going to actually say a more recent one that I don't know if I care about them as much separately, but I'm very curious in the Trevor Noah, Minka Kelly relationship.
That's exactly it. Better than the sum of its parts. Yeah. Like, together, Trevor Noah, very funny. Minka Kelly, very talented actor from Friday Night Lights, things like that. But if you put them together, it's like a Voltron that all of a sudden becomes like this cool romance where it's like, well, I wonder what those conversations are like. I read an article where she got a key to his mansion, you guys. So, like, it's like really moving along quite nicely, supposedly.
Opposite of that is the Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley. Like,
how do you say it? Is it Shailene or Shailene? I've never bothered.
Shailene. I don't care. She doesn't. We'll call her Shane. I don't care. She doesn't own a TV and she expects us all to care about her TV shows, but she is condescending to the television itself
She's Big Little Lies and all that, but she's always been known for giving these bizarre interviews of just like, well, I don't watch TV and I'm not this way and I only eat a certain kind of thing. And she is supposedly engaged to Aaron Rodgers, the football quarterback guy. And you posted this in your stories, I think today, because she said something like Jimmy Fallon that she didn't even know what football was or something, like something really dumb.
I assumed as much, and the timeline of them is so fascinating too, because he was with Danica Patrick to July. They confirmed that Danica Patrick, the race car driver, they broke up. Okay, fine. Then there's like an interview in September where he said like he's made adjustments in his personal life and that's why his game's going so good. But like,
adjustments in his personal life.
I don't know, like off the field stuff, which like his off the field stuff is, I don't know. He doesn't speak to his family and I still want to know why. Like,
because that actually ties into The Bachelor where we started.
We've gone full circle. Look at us. That's jazz, people. Yeah. That's jazz. But so he... Then, so she said in her interview today, she's like, yes, we are engaged. It's so funny because people are like freaking out about it. And this has been for a while. And I was like, okay, what does a while mean to you? Because then she says, yeah, we met in this crazy thing that we're all experiencing now. So you met in quarantine, which we are right at the year mark. And he was with Danica until July, but maybe they broke up sooner. So we'll give him May. So then they've been engaged a while. What, December, November? What's your time frame there? I don't know. So then she said, though, that she met him when she first met him, she had her dog with her. So I don't know if she was in a dog park or what, because she was like, yeah, my dog really was like, if you screw this up, mom, then I won't have anyone cool to play fetch with. Like, that's the story she told with her dog's, like, thought process in there. And I was like, where is this going? Oh, but she said, I didn't know him as this footballer. I didn't know I didn't know who he was. And I respect that. I think he would like that. Someone who's not like buying into it and like all these, you know, obsessed with that. So I was like, okay, that's fine. Then she says, you know, before Jimmy Fallon asked, have you been to a Green Bay game? Like, have you like,
and she's like, what's Green Bay?
Right. No idea. She's like, I've been to Green Bay, but we met during this. So there's been a lot of like, you can't go to games. She's like, so I haven't seen him play yet. And I hadn't even watched a football game before we started dating. That cannot be true. I'm on the record. Sue me. I don't care. That cannot be true. You're a liar. You did not miss. Did you not watch Beyonce's halftime performance? Like,
Well, then we would have to believe that she only likes him for his personality and looks, and like his job does not play into it at all.
She called him. She goes, I never imagined that I'd marry a guy who like throws a ball. Like, I didn't picture throwing a ball. I was
I'm sure he didn't imagine that somebody has to memorize lines. I don't know.
You were in, what was that story? The ABC Family Show, American Pregnancy, Secret Life of American Teenager.
And then she got The Descendants, and that actually the George Clooney thing. But she really does. There are certain actors that don't realize how pretentious they come off because they don't live in the real world. So when they actually do have the opportunity to speak to a massive audience, they come off like complete aliens and they don't ever realize because they're like, oh, I thought everybody just has a macrobiotic diet that, you know, doesn't drink anything but water. But also those relationships scare me. Tom Brady and Giselle the same way, is because it's like part of like relationship for me is like, hey, I had a down day. You want to go get some ice cream? Let's just go get some ice cream like at 10 o'clock at night. You know, like those are part. And with Tom and Giselle, you know, like when they go crazy, it's like a piece of avocado toast. You know, it's like we cheated.
Yeah. I mean, my boyfriend says that on Tom Brady's worst day, he goes home to Giselle. That's his low point. It's like
Pizza. That's his pizza and ice cream.
Yeah, it's Giselle. Like you're still doing better than a lot of us. Like, not to say that he doesn't have other struggles. Like, but you know, like, and I think Aaron Rodgers is probably just as much as an asshole. I've actually heard that before. That Shaylee, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Shay Shay, like I think that they are both assholes, and maybe that's why it's working and why it works so quickly.
Yes, I see you, fellow asshole. Like I see, yeah. I respect your assholery. That's very nice. Like imagine
that's how
them
she
with
flirted. Like she's like, you throw a ball, and he's like, you're on TV.
He saw her at a restaurant yelling at one of the wait staff, and he's like, I like that. That's amazing. That's really nice work.
A woman who knows what she wants.
I know I don't want to keep you all night. I could talk to you for hours, but real quick, I want to do a quick roundup of Bravo because I know you are watching some of the shows right now. Can some thoughts on Summer House so far? Three episodes.
I love Summer House, and I think we all kind of expected it, but this is the show that quarantine like thrived with. When I saw those Amazon packages piling up, like I felt at home. Yeah. It brought me right back, and it's working well. And I like the cast. I like the sandwich guy. I'm curious. I mean, your analysis of like, what is the sandwich you want? Like, we have not even gotten to details on what does the sandwich look like?
Strav really thinks it's about the sandwich when the sandwich represents something much deeper in her life. And he's like going like, just I'll make a sandwich then I'll wake up. But I do think Strav is very funny in the conversation they had this past week of like, he's like, well, here, I hate coffee, but I guess you like it. So I'll watch you drink coffee in the morning. You like that? Like, it was like, so I feel uncomfortable knowing these people's love languages, you know, love language, you know,
it's too much. And I've taken the quiz. I always forget what my love language is. I've probably made my boyfriend take it several times. I always forget his, like, but these people, television people, they must have to fill it out like every year on their application, be like, and tell us your love language just so we could like highlight that if it ever comes up, like they must have, because the Bachelor people, when that was a big deal, they brought it up all the time. Well, my love language is this. And it was like, all right, like there are other things besides these five love language.
What is the Engram test or whatever? Is that?
Oh my God. Everyone always says that.
Yeah. I've been asked if I've taken my Engram test so many times and I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. And it's been years now and I've not taken
it. I've taken it and I don't know what I am. Like, I think that's when people also say I'm an empath. Is that a different thing?
But isn't
everyone's an empath right now?
But I feel like everybody says they're an empath. Everybody's like, I feel very deeply, you know?
Yeah, of course. I hope so. Sociopaths are the only ones who don't. Like, if you said Armie Hammer, okay. Yeah. we said it.
Wait, so well, explain to me, though, who's in the right and wrong. I've been polling all of my guests this week, Luke and Hannah. What is going on? Who is in the right? Who is in the wrong? I talked to Luke himself on the podcast last week. I was very against Luke coming into the season, but then I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting pulled a fast one over on Luke because I was like, I'm kind of, I don't know. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I don't want to tell anyone how to feel about this because I came out and I said, is it weird that I'm not on anyone's side? I'd like this argument to end and I'd like to have a good season without this because Hannah's driving me nuts. And I don't think Luke is right, but I do not think Hannah is right. And I do think didn't she have a boyfriend at this point in the summer?
That's what he said on the pug. He goes, when we went in, she had a boyfriend and they have conveniently left that part out of the show. Like, but I'm like, Luke is kind of like a little dummy-ish when he's like, I would have shouted that out right then and there when she's like you have a boyfriend, Hannah.
Like maybe he did and they edited it out and he can't call that they edited it out. Like he can't say that because I thought, okay, maybe I remember this wrong. Like maybe it's a little into the season. I don't know. But I was like, I'm pretty sure she was at least talking to someone. I understand the whole like, okay, being in a mental relationship and someone else is not on the same page.
Yes.
Got it. But we saw him like, I don't know. And her friends siding with her now, like I'd slap her because you told her last season he was doing this a year ago. So if you wanted to chase him for a whole year and have this emotional relationship in your head that he is saying that he has said, we saw on camera, he was kind of like, oh, I don't know. And she was dating someone. And then he's gone on. Not that sex means everything, but like they haven't had sex in the whole year that this has been going on.
I prefer to say making love, Lucy. I'm
so sorry.
They have not made love yet.
They have not made love. And I'm just like, at some point, you have to look at yourself. And I don't think Hannah is. And I think Hannah is very much like, you did this, Luke. Look what you've done to me.
Well, to what end? Like, what does she want to happen? Because, like, I keep saying, like, she even keeps it going on her Instagram the last couple of days saying, like, I've gotten out of a toxic situationship. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, she still has this boyfriend. What is he thinking about this whole thing? But then also when I knew Hannah was like, I was like, we're on different planets here. Because when all those girls who were, by the way, like you said, way too encouraging of her, she goes, he can see I'm pulling away and it's driving him nuts. And I'm like, he is 100% not doing that. You know, Luke might be an asshole, Luke, but I will tell you one thing he is not doing is he does not give a crap if you're pulling away.
I mean, watching that, because we both love the show. So that is our, like, Bill and I watch Summer House. Like, we
get
are
Bill pumped. In here. Let's get Bill's opinion as a man.
He's like, this is crazy. This is hard. This is crazy to watch.
And I like and Hannah, but it's crazy.
I just think Hannah has to, like, if Hannah was like, all right, I'm being a little crazy, I would have been team Hannah. Like, she can be crazy. If you see you're being crazy, like, Lindsay recognizes her crazy and calls it out, but she's still going to be crazy. Hannah is like, I'm not crazy here, right? Am I right? And everyone's
Paige should be talked to for not, like, Paige, I know you think you're being a good friend, but you're not. And, like, and I will say Hannah does know, like, Hannah immediately went into Sierra directly with those girls. She looked directly at Sierra and she's like, I feel like I'm going, he makes me feel like I'm going crazy. And she knew exactly what she was doing.
It felt aware of the cameras for me. And I haven't felt before that they have a storyline on this show. And I do feel like maybe they just had to close this loop because people would have questions and, like, he's kind of moving on with Sierra and her boyfriend didn't come on the show or whatever. So, like, production's like, all right, close this up. And Hannah's like, all right, I'm going to close it up my own way though. Like, you're just going to have to, because I feel like that's also the problem with these shows. We know too much behind the scenes. Like, there's rumors that Sierra's dating a producer and that's how she knew someone on the show.
I know for a fact that is not true. That is debunked. Okay. Yeah.
Great. So, and I'm glad, because when those things come out, we're all like, oh, now it's, I don't want to ruin it, but for this, I want this ruined and I want it over. Like, I don't want to watch this all season.
Well, that's why I am going to Congress later in the year to actually try to get them to actually establish some kind of laws. If we find out they're doing janky stuff like dating a producer instead of, you know, being there to bang Carl, or, you know, I feel like we should be able to sue Bravo or whoever produces the show, because I don't think they should be able to call it a reality show and then let me believe this is really happening. And then they're just like kind of C-rate actors getting a job, you know?
Well, especially on Summer House, because I come to Summer House for the chaos and the mess. And I understand that we are in a pandemic, so they could only have so many people in the house. So we can't have the usual, like, in and out random girls, like the idea that someone could flirt with someone or we could pull in a new girl or, you know, Jewel showing up for a weekend. Oh, but yeah. I do, like, I need a little romance, and this is not the romance I needed. I think that was their fear too. They're like, oh, people always love, like, I loved the Luke and Hannah stuff last season because I was like, I get this. I get the chase.
Yeah, it's fun and flirty. It's fun and flirty. And Hannah's like, whoa, this guy is hot. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that flirtation as well. And if you watch the preview, you guys, I talked about this with Luke because I was like, kind of insinuates you bang Lindsay, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I am sitting on one piece of Summer House information that I'm not allowed to say, but it's really good. I mean, this season, I really think there are so many good things to come. I'm just confused about that one aspect of the Hannah Luke relationship. Yeah. And like you, I hope it ends and I hope we can move on. But the preview this week has him going like, I do love you. And I'm like, oh God, no. Oh, it's going to keep going.
I think Summer House's greatest thing is like all those cameras. It just captures so many little moments. Like you post about this, Carl making his bed. Why was I so enamored? I thought that was amazing.
I don't think you can see, but I made my bed today because of Carl. And yeah. I was like, Carl's an influencer, you know?
I love that they're all playing that Carl like is in charge of the house, but we're pretending Kyle is. Like, I don't know. They do it really well. So I don't need them. I feel like, you know, in certain Housewives seasons, they have to contrive a storyline or they feel they do. I don't want them to do that here. And this is feeling almost drawn out.
That's how low the bar is for men. Like, if you can make your bed, you're like, holy shit, this guy's everything. This guy has it all.
But Lindsay can't make a sandwich.
How many have you made for me? That's an iconic line. I really think that's an amazing line.
Across Bravo, I think that for me, it felt top 10.
That's like commitment. Like, she did it with commitment and force, and she kept saying it. It's like a variation of "it's not about the pasta," but in a an alcohol way instead of a pasta way. And like, I thought it was just so perfect. And I don't think people have appreciated. And I hope we get some more T-shirts made of it. I hope she gets her Dorinda moment.
Because it wasn't contrived too. Like, she meant that, and she said it over and over. The cameras were not there for her. That argument would have happened just like that without that was all her.
And then I guess the last thing, since Wednesday night is tomorrow, this will be released, and then tomorrow night we have the season finale, you guys, of Salt Lake City plus episode 2 of Jersey. Are you still keeping up with Salt Lake?
Yes.
I mean, that is a great night of television tonight after you listen to this. But I'm very sad that Salt Lake is going away, because I feel like they've done something really special with these reunions. Like, the fact that they saved Mary's story for the reunion. Like, it was really neat.
The reunion has been, especially like when we heard we were getting 3 parts for like a 12 episode season. I think we all were kind of like, what the hell is there something? There have been some reunions that are dragged out and some that we always get cut short. Yeah. Like, ever since we got 4 for Atlanta, I feel like we know we can have 4 and they never give it to us again.
Why not 5? Like, yeah.
Right. And then OC is like, we've only got 2 and we could have done 1. Like, there's nothing. But this, I mean, I still feel like there's a lot left to unpack, and a lot of it just lies with the hatred between Lisa and Heather. That is hard for me to watch.
I am shocked that Heather got like the beginning of season, the turn of Lisa being in Heather's head so much in those first couple episodes. And now to see that arc where Heather is completely in Lisa's head, where she's doing like bad beat poetry of like, you know, Whitney, Heather, bad weather, toil, trouble, cauldron, broom, you know.
I love that line, but just like we said, the sandwich line, between the sandwich line and Jackie and this, like, 3 big iconic lines this week, like that last week's episode.
And 3 biggest lines, and then you got Bolo's big dong. I mean, like, on Atlanta, right. Like, that's a huge.
That was a huge
week. I know you're getting married. Any thoughts of hiring Bolo for a bachelorette party if you have
one? I think his rates are about to shoot through the roof. I don't think I could get any kind of discount, but damn.
And then Jersey, any thought on the Gia, when it's all right to talk about the kids, when it's, you know, everybody seems to have a different thought on this.
Yeah. I feel, but I am not, I don't dislike Jackie. I just don't, like, she's not my favorite housewife. Like, I like her fine. I thought, first of all, Teresa was way out of line, and she came in hot, and it was fascinating to watch. And knowing that she came in and, like, that was the first day of filming. And like, what did she think they needed a storyline? Was she bored? Has she gone crazy? Like,
I was saying this earlier this week. It's like, when big moments happen like that really early, I always like to lean in to hear if I can hear like producers clapping in the background, because they're like, we got a season. Because Beverly Hills didn't have that. They had to shoot for like months to get to a part where, because we were seeing clips, if you remember, when the action happened, you guys, and then they'd go back and like 3 months earlier and they'd put in like 3 lines that meant nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this was, and you could see it on all of their faces. Like, I'm surprised we don't have more shots of like Melissa or Marge looking at the camera.
Marge is giving such good face. Marge is the Jim Halpert of, you know, like Zoinks.
Zoinks. She was stunned. I mean, it was, and I was too.
She goes, no, 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 no.
Yeah, because Teresa asked it, and then she goes, okay, I'll go ask somebody else. Like, so first of all, I don't think like that was right at all. And she, at his birthday, and she ran with it, and she has no sources, and she just kind of was like, I've got a story, la la la. I think Jackie handled it so well up until a point, and that's where the frustration is. It's just like in the bag, You waited till the next day. Can we get together and talk? Here's why I'm upset. I'd like you to just say you don't have any source on, like, just admit that you can't, like, this is nothing and you ran with it and we can try and move forward. And then I have a problem with the analogy. And this kind of comes back to, like, even like the Jack stuff earlier, because I think if we're saying Jackie is so smart and Jackie's saying, I'm so smart, I'm a lawyer, I know how this shit works. The same way she's thinking people are going to attack her and poke at her marriage and whatever, she knew that that would happen to Gia. And that's Gia's account right now is covered in, do you do coke? Her DMs have to be filled with it.
This part I did not even, I'm very ignorant, but in today's episode I was talking about, and somebody pointed out that everybody was remarking, and that part didn't, I'm such an idiot sometimes, because I was like, well, kids, but I didn't realize people were actually being dumb and idiotic enough to troll her about it on her Instagram page and DMs and stuff like that. I was like, that's so, like, come on, guys, we can have fun with this, and like, but don't be idiotic about it. And also, like I said, you're gonna ruin Gia actually being able to do coke at college. You're gonna ruin that for her now. Nobody's gonna be like, guess who I did coke with this weekend, Gia. Like, you can't, now she has to watch herself.
Yeah, she can't hang out with people and do that. No, I think that's my thing. I do think more and more every year or every season, whatever, like, I've noticed that the line is getting crossed more and more, and not by the accounts we talk to and not by like the everyday people who are DMing us and they want to gossip in the DMs. That's what I want to do too. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's so crazy. There are people who watch that and go straight to the person and just beat it down. And I'm like, that loses the fun of anything. And I just, the first thing when she said it, I go, you know, people are just gonna run with this, even if it's not true. And she's like, it's an analogy. And everyone's like, that's called an analogy. I'm like, if it was your life, you wouldn't care. Like, if it was your kid, and that's, and Teresa didn't even think then, I'm sure, being like, she didn't get it was an allergy. That's the funny part. Like, she definitely didn't get it. But like, once this aired, it's like Gia will get those messages through the next season. And I'm just kind of like, that's annoying. And I hope Jackie's even defending it, being like, it was an analogy. Everyone gets that. And I'm like, okay, you should do the same thing too. Like, lead by example with, you know, Teresa, who's not going to say anything, especially now. Jackie just, like, didn't need to use any other analogy.
But that's why it was kind of weirdly perfect, because it was so cutting. But it would be fun if the season does kind of focus around Teresa learning what an analogy is, a simile, a metaphor. It would be cool if by the end she's like, that's a metaphor, Jackie. How do you like me now? You know?
That would be the best. I think that's the best theory we can go with. I think it looks like it's going to be a great season. I don't even think this is like the main focus the whole time. I know
it is cool to like look. It's always, that's what I love about things, like when you can look forward to like either an album coming out, a movie coming out, a TV. Like, I'm like, I'm actually looking forward to Salt Lake and Jersey. I'm like, that's so cool. Like, sometimes with like OC, I'd be like, damn it, OC's on tonight. I got to watch that, I guess.
Yeah.
Like or like The Bachelor is a perfect example. What a drag to watch. Like, it is such a drag. And this, I'm just like, oh, good for you, Bravo. But by the way, you did fumble Below Deck this season, but it's all right.
Pandemic. I didn't watch Below Deck this season. I will. Pandemic on a boat. Like, it's hard. Like,
yeah. Well, Lucy, you have done it again. This went by like 5 minutes. You're so great at this. You're just so great. You are the Miles Davis of Instagram. This was our kind of blue. This was a jazz concert, you guys. Thank you for being here as always. Go subscribe to her podcast, Vino Nothing. She really does break down these romantic comedies, and it is a different thing than what I do, than what other people do. It's very special. So please go subscribe, support that. And when you subscribe, it shows up right in your feed. So even if it's like not on a certain day, when it comes, it'll be there. It's a nice surprise. Lucy on the Ground on Instagram, of course, is the Instagram account. Is it Lucy on the Ground with Rocks, or just Lucy on the Ground?
Lucy on the Ground. Lucy on the Ground with Rocks was too long for Instagram.
That's what it is. Yeah. So you guys already follow her, so whatever. But is there anything else going on that we need to support?
No, thank you. This is a great, I swear I'm coming back with the podcast. I talk a big game, but I will come back and I hope to come back here because this is always so fun. When you know,
you have an open invitation. That's what it's like. So cool. It's like, I get to talk about the stuff that none of my actual friends know about, you know,
yes.
Like this is like where I'm like, these are the friends that I wish lived in my state. And like, you know,
but I literally got off. I got off the phone with my friend. I was like, oh, I'm on Ryan's podcast. She goes, wait, I know you do this all the time because you have so much fun and we won't talk to you about this. And I was like, yep, gotta go.
Oh, I saw one of my old friends from high school this past week, and he's a professor, and I was trying, and it's just like, I get into it and you can just see glazes over. He's just like, I don't what, like, and I'm trying to explain like deeper things of like, well, here's why you might like it. And it just doesn't get it. And it's so sad, but I'm so glad people like you do get it. And people like you are the people that make me love this, because when you go to her stories, she always, it's like a show in itself. So thank you, Lucy, for being you. I'm going to cry now. So
oh, thank you for having me.
This is my Diane Sawyer moment. Oh, we didn't even get to talk about Britney, but next time. So,
oh God, there'll be something.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucy. And we will talk to you very soon.
Thank you.
I
it had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, or even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. Never be cross, try to be boss, they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. Baby, it had to be you, wonderful you. Had to be you.